Sigunati, what does the dati mean? Without looking, without looking. See who knows it.
Charity.
Charity what? Not charity, the dati.
The dati.
Whoops, it means giving. Yes, it means, okay, I'm sorry, the word by word is given here. Giving charity. Because it's charity, and then there's taking charity, and there's giving charity. So the dati means giving charity. Pratigranati, without looking, please. Guyam akyati pritstiti. What does guyam mean, Arjun?
Secret.
Yeah, or the idea of what's in one's mind. Guyam, it is secret. Why is it secret? Because no one can know what is there unless we express it. There are different ways to express it. One is by our deeds, and the other is by our words. But the point really is we can cover actually our deeds and our words and not reveal what's really in our heart, our mind. But when we actually do reveal our mind in confidence, that is guyam akyati, and then the pritschiti is inquiring confidentially to please tell me what's in your mind about this topic. So guyam akyati means explaining, and pritsiti, inquiring. Bhungte bhojayate chayva. What is bhungte? Don't look. That's not fair. Bhungte. Huh?
Offering prasad.
I thought that's bhojayate. Isn't bojayate feeding? That means offering. And bhungte, accepting prasad.
Feeding.
Yes. Which is right. Boja is feed. See, I always remember... Huh? Bhungte is eating. See, the way I remember it, the difference is the restaurant is called Bhojanalai. So the people who are running the restaurant, they've called it Bhojanalai, and they're feeding the people. Although after they eat too, but their main business is feeding the people. That's how I remember it. Bhojan. Feeding.
Bhojan sounds like boga, and boga
it doesn't. Yeah. Huh? You feed Krishna with boga, and it becomes prasad.
So.
But Krishna does. You feed. The point is you're feeding someone.
Yeah. Okay.
And bhungte, because we're just trying to think of how to remember it, because we none of us know Sanskrit. And bhungte, yeah? And the other one is the akyati and pritschiti. The dati is easy for me because that's giving. And in charity, and pratigunati is therefore the accepting. Guyam, that's simple for me. And akyati, which comes first, the explaining or the pritschiti, inquiring? How do you remember that one, the difference in that? Explaining or inquiring? Akyati, tittstiti. Usually, you explain your mind and then people trust you and then they'll inquire from you. Maybe so explaining comes first. Reveal your heart, that will get people to trust, to inquire properly. Sadvidam priti lakshanam. The symptoms. Lakshanam always means symptoms. Generally means symptoms, and priti means affection or love. Now the verse, or the Prabhupada explains in the purport, that offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad, are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. We understand that these six from the purport are actually not just systematic of a devotee's exchange with another devotee, but these are the common exchanges that endear one person to another. But yet, it is at the essence of the association of devotees, just for that reason, because it does endear one person to another. And it is essential that devotees develop deep friendships amongst the devotees. Prabhupada then gives examples of how we have a Sunday feast, people come, we bhojayate, we give them, we feed them, and sometimes the life members, they invite us to their homes and they feed us, and from our point of view that's bhungte, and from their point of view it's bhoja, or the feeding. So if one does nourish his relationships with devotees with these six loving exchanges, therefore he will be satisfied in his Krishna conscious relationships, and the result of that will be he will make progress going back home, back to Godhead. Now, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but Krishna will drag gradually the person back to Godhead, especially one who makes it his business to serve the devotees, and especially if that service, that's one of the most important, that's one of the secrets of living in Vrindavan, is to be in that service mood towards the devotees. But in any case, it's essential for someone who wants to make progress in Krishna consciousness to serve the devotees, to have affectionate dealing with the devotees, and therefore it is essential for him to apply the principles of priti lakshanam, the symptoms of these loving exchanges, all six of them. Then, in section B, we understand that it is to become Krishna conscious, we have to cleanse the heart. And of all the cleansing processes of the heart, the heart, chanting Hare Krishna is the most powerful. Kalo nasteva 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 gati aniyata. And therefore one who contributes or gives in charity to someone else the holy names of the Lord, he is actually doing great service. And Prabhupada explains, contributing or distributing the holy names of the Lord is a sublime example of contributing or giving in charity, the Dadati Prigunati. And therefore, by the same token, Prabhupada explained, one must also follow the Pratigunati principle, and he will be should be willing and ready to receive the transcendental gift. Guyamakyati Pritstiti, inquiring, and or rather explaining the principles, preaching Krishna consciousness, and inquiring confidentially. Guyam Akyati Pritstiti. Now in section D, Prabhupada describes Bhungte Bhojayate Jayava at the beginning. And then one of the principles from the last verse. The members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness invite the society's members and supporters to dine with them when they hold love feasts in all their branches every Sunday. Many interested people come to Anaprasad, and whenever possible, they invite members of the society to their homes and feed them sumptuously with prasad. So which principle is that? In this way, both the members of the society and the general public are benefited. So how is the society benefited in this Bhungte Bhojayate, as Prabhupada has explained? How are the members of ISKCON benefited?
Give a chance to distribute the song.
Right.
Give a chance to give people worse.
Right.
And the people, they get benefit by receiving.
Yeah.
Donations.
But do we also get benefit, right?
By
yes, of course, because it's
We get fed sumptuous.
Yeah, that's that's not beneficial.
I had a question about this.
Yeah.
We went to a life member's house, and we took this prasad, and we were eating with Sri Ram Swami, myself, Krishna Dharma, a few other devotees. And then we were just chatting, and we went into the kitchen, and there was a sizzling sound, sausages, and the grill for themselves.
Yeah.
So it's like, a lot of the times you got to be, it's like, what you're eating, you've got to be very careful.
One time though, one should be very careful that because the people sometimes are indiscriminate about their use of onions and garlic. what to speak of this extreme example when they were cooking meat in the same kitchen. So the standard is one does not eat in a place like that. That is the standard. And secondly, the standard is one only eats prasadam. So the food has to be offered. The bhog has to be offered. But just to give a counter example, once in Hong Kong, Prabhupada was there, and we were staying in, Prabhupada was staying in a very wonderful room in the Hong Kong Hilton, where the Shah of Iran had stayed. It was really, you know, it was the most luxurious room that they had. It was huge, it's a huge suite like that. In any case, one of our Indian friends came, a boy. He was very interested. His mother was also somewhat interested in Krishna consciousness. So she offered to cook for Prabhupada. So I told Prabhupada that although the boy is vegetarian and the mother is vegetarian, the father isn't vegetarian, and therefore she has to cook meat in the house for him. So do you want to accept that? Food from her? She eats meat, Prabhupada. Or they cook meat in the house. And his answer was, it is my duty to accept. So that's on the other side. But generally speaking, it is not our duty to accept like that. And the reason is because our consciousness will become extremely contaminated. Because when one eats, that's one of the prime ways to become infected with what the person has, whether it's Krishna consciousness or Maya consciousness. One shares the karma where he eats. That's why it is strongly recommended that one does not eat in restaurants, etc. These are the subtle laws of material nature, that wherever you eat or someone's house, you take the karma from that place. So therefore, people are anxious to have devotees or any sadhu come and eat in their house because they distribute the karma in that way. But it's heavy because the devotee has to be able to handle the influx of that karma. And gradually, if one eats improperly prepared food, one's mind will become wicked and sinful and full of vashana, or materialistic personality.
What about devotees becoming lax in buying certain things in the store, or eating soft drinks, yogurts, ice cream,
We'll all get really hungry if you continue describing it all.
A certain genre of food which devotees in the temple, beside the temple, sankirtan. I mean, all kinds of devotees have noticed in the last few years, they just become loose and they eat things which they don't have to eat them, but because of, some...
Well, it's not very strict. In the early days, no one would ever do that. No one would eat anything other than what was cooked in the temple in the early days. Then, one time, Prabhupada was in New York in 1976. This is a famous story. And he was walking in the street and he was very thirsty. So he had a devotee go into a store and get him some 7-Up. Because Prabhupada had tasted it on one of the airplanes or something like that. And he said, this is a good taste. So from that moment on, 7-Up became bona fide. And before that time, no one would ever drink a soft drink. And of course, Prabhupada wasn't going around drinking soft drinks the way the devotees do. But then again, in India, it started that everyone was afraid of the water, so everyone always drank limca instead of the water in the early days also. So that partially doesn't answer your question. It's better to be strict, obviously, especially with grains cooked by non-devotees. The tendency in India is to become a little lax, too. So I've heard it quite authoritatively that Prabhupada said also that everything cooked in Vrindavan is prasadam. for instance, in Vrindavan. I've heard that quite authoritatively from Hari Suri, the Prabhupada said that. But there's two sides of it. There's the one side of, say, it's prasadam, therefore we can just eat. But the other side is we also have to control our tongue and our mind. So therefore the rule is we eat prasadam and we eat regularly. What's the principle?
There's some emphatic purports in the Chaitanya Charita about eating in places, in life members' homes, or eating places where the bodies are not chanting 16 rounds.
Yes. One should be careful. The life we save may be our own. We should be careful because eating affects the consciousness greatly, so much. Now, on one hand, Prabhupada's recommending the association of devotees and inviting life members to take prasadam at the temple and then taking prasadam at the homes of life members and having festivals at the homes of life members. And then, on the other hand, that's what we should take. But as the previous two verses said in Sangha Tyaga and Jana Sangha, people should give up the company of so-called yogis, jnanis, karmis, and philanthropists because their association can benefit no one. If one really wants to attain the goal of human life, he should associate with devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement because it is the only movement that teaches one how to develop love of God. What do you think about that statement?
We don't always preach like that.
Huh?
We don't always preach like that.
Where? To whom?
Well, like if we're just doing an introductory thing, we might just explain to someone that you need to take up a process of self-realization. But, all the Buddhism.
We preach like that.
Well, not, but well, specifically
Buddhism.
Not Buddhism. No, I'm sorry. Let me please. But
But the idea is that in the beginning, Prabhupada also preached like that. It doesn't make a difference what religion one follows, but the point is to develop one's love of God. It doesn't make a difference what names of God one chants, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommended chant the Maha Mantra, and if you don't have any names of God that you particularly like to chant, you should accept these, like that, which was very, very liberal interpretation. But this book is also it's basically meant for devotees. But when we take it even further, what does this mean? That this movement is the only movement that teaches one how to develop God, love of God.
I was just gonna mention also that if you the last paragraph in that section there, the last sentence in that paragraph, when a religious system develops and turns into love of God, it is successful, which seems to totally contradict what is being said at the beginning there. Because if you take what the beginning part, then the second sentence, that last sentence, how can a religious system develop and turn into love of God when this Krishna consciousness is the only movement to develop love of God?
Yeah, but there's no other religious system that turns you or awakens your love of God except Krishna consciousness. So far none of them have proven to be successful in that.
None of them? Which of them?
Christianity.
So in other words, well, okay, we're speaking amongst devotees then. So we're saying that there's no one who is a Christian who has developed his love of God. Is that what we're going to say?
Yes.
Well, they can't develop certain aspects of love of God.
Okay. I personally, I thought when Prabhupada was saying that Krishna consciousness movement,
yes,
he's saying Krishna, but he means, of course, he means God. So, I've heard other times where Prabhupada says that everybody is Krishna conscious, because just being conscious means you're Krishna conscious.
Because Krishna is ultimately the consciousness.
Yeah, so... I mean, it...
Movements.
Yeah, it seems that...
It speaks about the movement.
With devotees of the Krishna consciousness movement.
And if you wanted to look at it the other way, you could narrow it very narrowly also. You could say, only ISKCON. And you could, then you could support it with that famous fourth canto quote. Anyone with me? And then say, only devotees in ISKCON.
Yeah, that means any other spiritual movement is now the ballgame. When Prabhupada says, because it is the only movement that teaches one now to develop
that one. I'm just saying that that's the real narrow, you know, he's like the real broad thing of Krishna's God, and then how would you say only is God?
See, what I understand from this is, first of all, after that point about the Krishna consciousness movement, being the only movement that teaches one how to love God, then Prabhupada sort of changes it and starts all... The point changes a little bit to religion, to actually a definition of what religion and what religion's purpose is. So religion is... Some religious system is in every society, but religion's purpose is to develop love of God. And when it does develop love of God, it is successful. When it develops one's love of God. So that's somewhat of a different point, and it doesn't contradict the point about the Krishna consciousness movement. Because then we have to see which religious movement actually develops one's love of God. And hopefully we come to the conclusion that Krishna consciousness develops a movement that is meant to and successfully develops one's love of God, although nothing seems to be guaranteed. But we could also say that we're talking about the Krishna consciousness movement is Lord Chaitanya's movement.
Well, it does talk about ISKCON specifically.
So many places. Yeah. At this time, there was really, especially this was meant to, it would seem, yeah, it's a preaching book for ISKCON too. Let's face it. Isn't it? Mm.
This book was there on the convention meeting.
This one. But we have to say that ISKCON is very special. It houses... Prabhupada built this house, and Prabhupada was obviously, undeniably empowered by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill Mahaprabhu's prediction that Krishna consciousness that Mahaprabhu's name would be sung in every town and village of the world. So this movement is very, very, very big. And it's the house that's big enough for the whole world to live in, although right now there are many empty rooms. but this problem would be solved if other religious movements take shelter of the Krishna consciousness movement. That will solve the problem. But also we should also face the practical reality that people cannot become Krishna conscious, learn to love God while eating God's children, animals. And we should also face the reality that people are social. The general mass of people are extremely social, and they're not monks or monkinis. And they need this type of a yukta vairagya movement where things can be used in Krishna service in the purpose of preaching. So it really, really narrows down. You know, there are Babaji's who are maybe very pure and love Krishna. Maybe they're exalted souls in Vrindavan, Navadvip, Jagannath Puri. But there aren't, when you're talking about a movement, a practical movement for the masses, it is for all purposes true if we can fulfill Prabhupada's desire through this movement and live up to his words.
But this statement can be taken out of context completely.
Okay, but what's the context?
Well, the whole paragraph. It runs from ISKCON programs of Sunday feast to the aborigines in the jungles. Meaning that he talks in the context of religion in its broadest sense, and religion is practiced by ISKCON specifically. I mean, if someone were to say,
see, if one wanted to get the paragraphing proper. It starts off with the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and then it goes in this way, both the members and the society and general public are benefited. Then the topic switches to people should give up the company of so-called yogis, commies, etc. People in general shouldn't associate that. Now, Prabhupada doesn't mean they shouldn't associate with devotees. He's saying why they should. He's talking about that one shouldn't associate with other yogi groups, karma group, jnani groups. One should associate with the devotees of Krishna. That's what I think he means, and because that seems to be the actual context. He's talking about the devotees of Krishna. And and that's the Krishna consciousness movement. He's saying one should accept certain type of association and one should reject certain type of association. One should accept the association of devotees, which is so much embodied in ISKCON society. Although at our last meeting, we were saying there weren't all of it. You know, we were saying that these loving exchanges don't always exist amongst all the devotees. Yeah. But yet the purpose of ISKCON is to facilitate, as Prabhupada said, these six loving exchanges. And therefore to distribute the sweetness of association with devotees that will attract people away from associating with jnanis, karmis, and yogis, which will not be able to help them attain the purpose of life. That's, I think, the basic point. Yeah, Priyan?
I was feeling this way that Srila Prabhupada mentioned that it is the only movement that teaches man how to live the will of God. It indicates to me, to some degree, that is because this book is written in English.
Yeah.
It specifically refers to the English speaking world. So in the English speaking world in the West and so far, it's not like other Vaishnava movements.
And especially at this time, there was no one else at all. Yeah, for the association of devotees. I agree.
But these books are there for the next 10,000 years, so in about 1,000 years from now, someone will read the nature of devotion and the nature of instruction. And is that going to mean anything for him?
This, well, we don't, of course it will. Hopefully it will mean see, at some point Prabhupada explained that if the movement fulfills its purpose, according to Prabhupada's desire, it will mean even more, because the Krishna consciousness movement will become extremely strong and other religious factions will, as they seem to be doing, disintegrate and become covered by Kali Yuga even more. And those who are sincere will take shelter in this truly non-sectarian movement, Krishna consciousness. Where am I going? But that's interesting. I thought, you know, it can make your head spin around what is actually meant there. Is it clear? Everyone? Looking at it in context, what it means. Then, Prabhupada explains more about the perfection of religion. Prabhupada even makes it clearer in the next to last paragraph on page 44. If the members of human society actually want peace of mind, tranquility, and friend relations amongst men and nations, they must follow the Krishna conscious system of religion by which they can develop their dormant love for Krishna. the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As soon as people do so, their minds will immediately be filled with peace and tranquility. Now, again, this whole point is in the context of associating with devotees and not associating with non-devotees. That's actually the whole point and context here. And then it is explained even further that, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that they should not even speak to the impersonalist Mayavadis who are always determined to oppose such theistic movements. The world is full of Mayavadis and atheists, and the political parties of the world take advantage of Mayavad and other atheistic philosophies to promote materialism. So this is what is going on in the world today, that the tendency is to become more, the people and the governments to become more materialistic, led by the technological science and led by atheistical so-called philosophies and so-called religions, such as Mayavad, which practically speaking is atheism, and plain all-out atheism, which also is atheism. And political parties, especially, you see that in you see it in India, you see it in communist countries. I'm not familiar with most of the political places in the world, but they are specifically against religion. The political parties are specifically against religion. They decry religious practice, and they feel that it is a great stoppage for the evolution of humanity to its higher spiritual forms, spiritual in the sense of evolutionary forms too, the opium of the people. Who was that?
Karl Marx.
Karl Marx. There was that, and there's the famous reverse on that quote of religion is the opium of the people. It got turned into opium as the religion of the people, and I think that's quite accurate also. But that religion is the opium of the people came from practically the Western view of India, and they viewed the religious system as the method by which the classes that were in power used to keep the downtrodden masses subservient. Just be satisfied. You'll get more in your next life, and meanwhile, we'll get everything in this life. That's how they were viewing it. So their opposition to that, and this is actually explained in briefly in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. In opposition to that, because Kali entered in the form of the degradation of Brahmins, and that brought the degradation of Kshatriyas. And then that brought the power of the Vaishyas, which ultimately it seemed like until recently this was going to bring the Sudras into power. But this all stemmed from the improper pride of the Brahmins and the not respecting the social order, the Vedic culture. And Prabhupada explains in the first canto that understanding that the Varnashrama system didn't work properly, instead of throwing it out and establishing government of the people by the people, it is better to make the Varnashrama system work properly. That is more intelligent. Because it will, if it's functioning properly, it'll function wonderfully. Having an intelligent, a specially trained intellectual class that's religious, astute, learned, detached, renounced, pure-hearted, unselfish. And those would be the advisors of the martial or Kshatriya class. How intelligently run the government will be. How uncorrupt the government will be. How pure the government will be, how serving the people will be, it's strong. So it is better to establish that. So again and again, Prabhupada, in very strong terms, talks about not associating with Mayavadis, not associating with these atheists. Don't try to be so advanced that you tried to save the Mayavadis, because they're foolish and they're addicted to their foolishness. Of course, sometimes there's what we call possums. Like, the special quality of a possum is that he looks like he's sleeping, but he's actually awake. So sometimes there's devotees who make believe that they're sleeping, and just below the surface they're actually awake. They may be playing as if they were Mayavadis, they may be playing as if they were their materialists or this or that. But as soon as you preach to them, as soon as they hear the holy names, they immediately wake up to their actual consciousness. So it's not that we stop our preaching and we give up our compassion, but as the next verse, not the next verse, what does explain in the purport, that a madhyam devotee, a preacher devotee, he treats different people differently. He discriminates. That's his special quality of his mercifulness, is that he does discriminate. And the way he treats an atheist or a heavy Mayavadi is he avoids them. He doesn't waste his time. And Prabhupada explains, to try to help them and to reveal one's mind to them actually gives them strength. And the example he uses is what? Yes. Feeding sweet milk to the fangs of a vicious serpent. His poison simply increases. So this is a very practical advice. We may think sentimentally that we are, you know, great, compassionate, big-hearted preachers, but it is better to keep our feet on the ground and deal with the devotees and preach to the innocent. This is actually appropriate. So therefore, Prabhupada explains, one should not disclose our mind to the serpent Mayavadis and Karmis. Such disclosures will never help. So he's talking, of course, more than preaching to them, but making intimate friendships with these people. It is best to avoid association with them completely and never ask them about anything confidential, because they cannot give good advice. Nor should we extend invitations to Mayavadis and atheists, nor accept their invitations. For by such intimate intermingling, we may become affected by their atheistic mentality, sangat sanjayate kama. And what will come from that? Kama, desires, material desires. It is the negative injunction of this verse that we should refrain from giving anything to or accepting anything from the Mayavadis and atheists. This is very strong, yes? This is the practical instructions for devotees. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also warned, Visha yera ana kaile dushta haya man. By eating food prepared by worldly people, one's mind becomes wicked. And unless one is very advanced, he is unable to utilize everyone's contribution to further the Krishna conscious movement. Therefore, on principle, one should not accept charity from the Mayavadis or atheists. The idea is even that if you accept charity, money, donation, dan, from unqualified people, then you will become contaminated. If you don't give every bit of that to Krishna, if you use that for your maintenance, and be maintained by that, it's very contaminating.
How about the poor Grihasthas? They're working in America, you know, they're having a job, a computer technician for CPRL or something, you know, and it's giving a little bit to the temple and the rest of this money is made.
But this is specifically dan, charity, accepting charity.
So that means all the ones are
that's what it's
money with stickers and stuff like that, like in parking lots, they're getting heavy reactions.
Yeah, well, it depends what they do with the money. So they give it to Krishna.
Well, maintaining their family and their power TV and their buying.
Of course they get.
Kids,
of course they get heavy reactions for that. Everything a materialist does, they get heavy reactions for.
So they're doing it for maintaining their spiritual life.
But you just said that they have color TVs in their houses and they're getting jeans for their kids. Get out of here. They're not. That sounds to me a little more like they're maintaining their material life, not their spiritual life. What does it sound like to you? What does a color television have? What you should give them is not the benefit of the doubt, but a kick. It's like someone with dying of a heart disease, and you want to give them the benefit of the doubt. That's not what they need. They don't need a kick either, but they need medicine. And also, we see that you brought up the devotees who, you know, who are working outside. First, you started with that, and the difficulty of doing that is precisely this: that they tend to associate with the non-devotees, and we see that most of them don't do very well, though not all of them. Those who keep their sadhana strong and keep associating with devotees and make their friendships amongst the devotees, then they can maintain, even though it's not easy.
But they cannot maintain in chant.
Well, that's not true. Maybe they have their own, but it's not really good for devotees in general to work in jobs. It's better they have their own business. Because when you're working in a job, you have to associate, you have to be social with these people, and it's heavy. The women are trained killers, and the men are trained women hunters, and they talk about it, and worse than associating with women is associating with men who are addicted to the association of women. And it's not very pleasing to the heart. The atmosphere is disgusting, generally. And the lust abounds. And the women and men are always on the prowl for new and new partners. Newer and newer partners. So how could that be? Unless you're very strong, one will fall victim to that kind of a thing. Yes?
Yeah.
And then the final. So that part, the end of C, really, there's two parts of C. Practically speaking, that's associate with devotees and don't associate with non-devotees, very simple. And then in D, here's the conclusion, is that we should always keep company of devotees, observe the regulative devotional principles, follow in the footsteps of the acharyas, and in full obedience carry out the orders of the spiritual master. In this way, we shall be able to develop our devotional service and dormant Krishna consciousness. The devotee who is neither a neophyte nor a Mahabhagavat, a greatly advanced devotee, but is within the middle status of devotional service, is expected to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, make friends with the devotees, and show favor to the ignorant, and reject the jealous and demoniac. In this verse, there is a brief mention of the process of making loving transactions with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and making friends with the devotees. So, this is what's being explained here, how to make friends with the devotees, because this is for the Madhyam devotee, these instructions. According to the Dadati principle, an advanced devotee is supposed to spend at least 50% of his income on the service of the Lord and his devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami has set such an example in his life. When he decided to retire, he distributed 50% of his life's earnings to Krishna's service and 25% to his relatives and kept 25% for personal emergencies. This example should be followed by all devotees. Whatever one's income, 50% should be spent on behalf of Krishna and his devotees, and this will fulfill the demands of Dadati. In the next verse, here's what Prabhupada is explaining what the next verse shall be about. Srila Rupa Goswami informs us what kind of a Vaishnava should be selected as a friend and how Vaishnavas should be served. So this verse explained how to exchange friendly affection with the devotees. And the next verse explains how to deal with the devotees in friendship according to the position, one's own position in the position of the devotees. Any questions or comments? Dadati patigranati guyamakyati prasati munte bodhe pekeva sadvidam patilakshanam. Yes, go on.
I was just going to say this principle of accepting charity from natives and minorities. I notice sometimes when you do that, it's like you strike up a relationship with the person, and it's almost like they're, you're kind of bound by some kind of commitment to take some of their association.
This one story that I heard of some man in Vrindavan, some very elevated sadhu in Vrindavan, and he used to give Bhagavatam class every day. And people from all over Vrindavan would come and hear his explaining the Bhagavatam. Then one day he went to a feast at some temple and he came back and he was giving Bhagavatam class. And a woman walked by this renowned sadhu and he became lusty for a moment. And when he recognized this in his mind, although it was just for a moment, he was such a man of character, he immediately got up and he started walking to the Jamuna to drown himself. He said, "How has this happened to me? You know, this is horrible. I'll kill myself." And the people around, they stopped him from doing that. But he was trying to understand how this had happened. So he